I'd like to ask now if we could stand together as we receive the gospel from Mark chapter 10. And I'll begin reading at verse 46. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus's son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy!" Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged, get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. What do you want me to do for you? That's the question Jesus asks a blind beggar along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus were to ask you this question today, what would your answer be? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What is the need that you have brought to worship this morning? Some of you, if asked that question, might ask Jesus for healing a broken heart. You're grieving the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, the loss of employment, the loss of a place and a people you once called home. "Teacher," you might say, "I want peace. I want strength. I want hope for the future." Some of you might ask Jesus for physical healing, for yourself, for someone you love. "Teacher, I want to be well. I want my loved one to be well." Some of you might ask for spiritual healing. You long to be set free from a burden from your past. You struggle with a persistent sin that is undermining the joy of your life. You need grace to forgive someone who has hurt you. "Teacher, I want a fresh start." Some of you might ask for the healing of a relationship. "Teacher, restore my marriage. Heal my relationship with my family member, a friend, a coworker, someone here at church." Some might ask for the healing of your soul. You might ask Jesus for rest amid the overwhelming stresses and strains of this season in your life. If Jesus were to ask you this morning, "What do you want me to do for you?" what would your answer be? A bit later in this service, I'm going to invite you to write down your need on a green card and to bring it to the altar as you feel led. And I'm going to ask you to do that because we believe in the power of prayer to open the way for God's healing. Now, we know that God may not heal us in the way we would like or within the time frame that we would like, but we bring our need before the Lord because we know that God loves us that God hears our prayers, that God is already at work in His own way, in His own time, to bring healing to us. Here in Mark chapter 10, the gospel introduces us to Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus must have been pretty well known in the early church because Jesus restored the sight of many blind people, but the Gospels don't tell us their names. Mark gives us the name of Bartimaeus. His name means son of Timaeus, or literally, son of honor. And so Mark wants us to see that Bartimaeus is not just a blind man whose sight is restored, but Mark is presenting him as a model for Christian discipleship. And as you can see in the teaching notes that are included in your bulletin this morning, Bartimaeus serves as a guide for us on the way to healing. Bartimaeus shows us the way to the healing that Jesus offers. Now, as we follow Bartimaeus through this story, we discover, first of all, that if we want to experience healing, we need to put ourselves in places where we are likely to meet Jesus. As it says in number one, put yourself in places where you are likely to meet Jesus. Look again at verse 46. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. Bartimaeus is sitting beside the road as Jesus comes to town. Sitting beside the road, the well-traveled road between Jericho up to the city of Jerusalem. Sitting beside this road because there's a better chance that with all those hundreds of people who are passing by, some of them might throw some coins in his cup so that he can survive another day. Bartimaeus is sitting beside the road. But I think Mark wants us to see a double meaning in this. Not just the physical road that leads to Jerusalem, it's also the road that Jesus is on. And we might say that this road really represents the disciples' path. The disciples are on the road with Jesus, and so is this grand procession of people that are surrounding him. But Bartimaeus is not yet on that road. Not yet on the road with Jesus, beside the road in his blindness, his brokenness, his poverty. He's not yet met the one who can restore his sight. But the important thing is that Bartimaeus has put himself in a place where he is likely to come into contact with Jesus, and he invites us to put ourselves in those places as well. To put ourselves in places like this. We come to worship hoping that in a song, in the playing of the violin, in a prayer, in a word from the pulpit, in the outreach of a friend, we will meet Jesus. We set apart time to read the Bible and to pray each day because it's there that we are likely to meet Jesus. We get involved in a Bible study or a Sunday school class or a small group. We serve in a ministry. We show love to a neighbor because it's in these places where we are likely to meet Jesus. 2 years ago, I served at the General Conference in Portland, Oregon. And while I was there, I met a pastor from Washington, D.C. named Ginger Gaines Sorelli. And actually, we met while waiting for the public transportation in Portland across the street from the convention center. And it was late at night, and Ginger was there with a youth delegate from her conference. And up on the board, it said the next train would not be there for like 20 minutes. And so Ginger said to me, "Would you like to get an Uber to come and take us back to the hotels?" And it was my first and only Uber ride. And Ginger paid for it. And so after that, we had several conversations and, of course, became Facebook friends eventually. And last week, Ginger posted a portion of a recent sermon on Facebook entitled, "When You're Not Feeling It." And I so appreciated what she wrote that I asked her if I could share it with you today. And, well, here it is in your teaching notes, a part of her sermon. I think that some folks believe that if they're not feeling something they think they're supposed to feel, then something is wrong with them or something is wrong with the church. What I want to suggest is that sometimes, just like many of our spiritual ancestry, you just won't be feeling it that day, or even for a long while. And no matter what you feel or don't feel, you are welcome, you are encouraged to come and just be in the midst of the gathered body and the music and the prayers and the words and scriptures, and to be reminded that just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean that God is not present. Just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean that God is not always working for good in the world. When I read that, I thought of Bartimaeus, who calls us to put ourselves in places where we're likely to meet Jesus, perhaps even when you're not feeling it. Even when you're not feeling it, keep coming to church. Stay involved in your small group. Keep giving. Keep serving. For as you do, you will discover that God is still at work. That God is already at work to heal whatever the brokenness is that you would bring to Jesus. Bartimaeus invites us to put ourselves in places where we're likely to meet Jesus. And then number two, he invites us to be persistent. Be persistent. Look at verse 47. "When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy.' Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, 'Son of David, show me mercy.'" Now notice how the crowd tries to shush Bartimaeus. Have you ever known a shusher? In some of the churches I've served, I've known a few of them. The ones who, when it's time to get quiet, go, "Shh, how annoying." Well, there's a lot of shushers along the road with Jesus. But Bartimaeus is not dissuaded. He cries out all the more. Now, when I was in seminary in Dayton, Ohio, years ago, I took a course from Dr. Tom Boomershein on the healing ministry of Jesus, and Tom was big on memorizing the Bible. He knew the entire Gospel of Mark by heart, and he would tell these stories in such a powerful way to us. And of course, each week we were assigned some different healing stories that we were to memorize, and then in class we would tell them to each other. And he would say how often in church we read the scriptures, you know, in such a nice, polite, like churchy way. But Tom taught us to get inside the characters. Even their emotion. Our class met in a conference room in the library. And the day we told the story of Bartimaeus, I will never forget. Because Tom wanted us to imagine, how loud would this blind beggar have to yell in order to get the attention of Jesus in that big crowd? And so there we were, each of us, all 12 of us, when we got to that point in the story, shouting at the top of our lungs in the seminary library, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It was loud enough that the whole library heard it 12 times, all three floors. And when class was over, people were asking us what was going on in Dr. Boomershine's class today. So much yelling, so much screaming. In reality, I think that Bartimaeus was even louder, even pushier than Tom Boomershine. And the more vigorously the crowd tried to shush him, the more enthusiastically he shouted out to Jesus. He would not give up until Jesus responded to him. And we need to follow his example. Just because God doesn't answer your prayers today or tomorrow or even next week or next month, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care. And it doesn't mean that in some way that you cannot yet see, God is already at work to bring your healing. In prayer, we develop a relationship with God. And as we talk to God and listen to God and come to know God, it changes us and brings us healing. The Apostle Paul knew all about this. He endured so much hardship, and so did many of the people that received those letters that are now in our New Testament. He wrote to a persecuted church in Rome in Romans 12. "Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble, and devote yourselves to prayer." In other words, don't let anyone shush you, but be persistent, because God is already at work in your life and in the world. Thirdly, Bartimaeus points the way to trust in Jesus. Verse 49 says, "Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him forward.' And they called the blind man, 'Be encouraged. Get up. He's calling you.'" And notice that Bartimaeus throws his coat to the side. He leaves behind him all that is around him and jumps up and comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Now, this is not the first time that Jesus asks this same question to someone in the 10th chapter of Mark. In fact, Jesus has just asked that same question in the story that appears in Mark just before this one. On the way to Jerusalem, before they get to Jericho, two of Jesus' disciples make a big request. Mark tells us in verse 35, "James and John, Zebedee's son, come to Jesus and said, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right and the other on your left when you enter your glory." What Jesus is saying to them after that is, "You don't know what you're asking for." And soon the other 10 disciples are all upset at James and John for asking about this. And once again, the disciples who've been with Jesus for 3 years still don't understand who he is and what he's about. I think that Mark puts these two stories side by side for a purpose, because he wants us to see the contrast between his disciples and Bartimaeus. The disciples can see physically, but they're still in the darkness in understanding who Jesus is. Bartimaeus is in physical darkness. He's blind. But he sees Jesus and puts his trust in him. He even calls Jesus Son of David, recognizing that he is God's Messiah, the one who alone can bring healing. Mark invites us to be among those who see, who trust, who know Jesus. The real healing of Bartimaeus is not just the restoration of his physical blindness. The real healing is the salvation of his soul. His life completely transformed by the Son of David. Number four, Bartimaeus invites us to remember. Whatever it is we would ask of Jesus, remember the victory has already been won. Verse 52, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. At the end of this story, Bartimaeus is on the way with Jesus. Now, this is the last healing story in Mark's gospel. And where is Jesus on the way to? He's on the way to Jerusalem. And soon it will be Palm Sunday. And soon the cheering crowds will turn against him. Soon Friday will come and Jesus will suffer and die on a cross. Soon he will take upon himself the sin and suffering of the whole world, including you and me. Soon Jesus will rise again, victorious over all the powers that would threaten to undo us. Jesus is on the way. He's on the way to bring salvation to a broken world. And Bartimaeus is on the way with Jesus. And Bartimaeus invites you and me, even this morning, to be on the way with Jesus. You've already put yourself in a place where you are likely to meet Jesus. And now I invite you, just as Bartimaeus did long ago, to answer that question. Jesus asks you today, what do you want me to do for you?